The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
Pat and Stu for Glenn, who is out with the flu today. 888-727-BECK. Of course, Mike Pence seems to be out of his mind. Mike Pence, apparently, if you're to believe Omarosa, who, and why wouldn't you believe her? Because, you know, everything she says, I'm sure, is completely legitimate. He thinks Jesus talks to him. What? What a maroon. What are you? Wow. Is he hearing voices in his head? Is that what it is?
And I would say, I mean, look, there are certain names you could put in this category, but I would say Omarosa, number one religious expert in America.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
She might be number two. You might be able to put someone ahead of her, but I don't think so. I think I'd put her as the number one religious expert in America.
So Mike Pence, A, won't have dinner with other women alone.
Amazing.
What an idiot on that. Especially in this environment with the sexual harassment and all that going on. And then he thinks deity speaks to him.
You believe this guy?
I can't believe this guy. I don't even know how he's walking around the streets of our cities without being in chains. You know, first of all, we need to put him somewhere in like a padded room, you know, so he doesn't hurt himself to begin with or others. It's gotten to the point now, really, where you can't say you get... I don't know, you pray and you listen for answers and you're guided by the spirit or God. That's a point of ridicule now.
Yeah, it used to be something you almost had to say as a politician. Even if you didn't believe it, you had to say that you prayed and listened to God for answers. Now, it's just the idea of it is mockable, apparently. Again, it's important to note these movements that we have.
And let's not forget what it was Nancy Pelosi said a few years ago.
They ask me all the time, what is your favorite this? What is your favorite that?
What is your favorite
that? And one time, what is your favorite word? And I said, my favorite word.
That's easy. That's so easy.
My favorite word is the word.
Which
word?
Which is actually two words.
And also, which word are you
referring
to?
The word.
And that is everything. It says it all.
So the word is everything?
Word is everything.
And you know the biblical reference. You know the gospel reference.
Okay. So a person like Nancy Pelosi can make references to the word of God. And yes, that's written, but you can't also believe in inspiration, I guess, if you're a Republican.
No.
Nobody mocked, well, except for us, Nancy Pelosi on the word stuff.
No. We got a lot of mileage out of it, but not it wasn't widespread per se.
It wasn't. The mainstream media didn't go off on that at all. They were fine with it.
Yeah, it's very true. Do we have the audio? I think we do, of the Omarosa thing with Mike Pence, kind of to hear her actual comments, because she's been Trump has done a lot of really good things. Bringing Omarosa into the White House was not one of them. Here's the quote from Omarosa.
As bad as y'all think Trump is, you would be worried about Pence. I'm just going to say that.
I know.
So everybody that's wishing for impeachment might want to reconsider their life.
Absolutely.
We would be begging for days of Trump back if Pence became president. That's all I'm saying. He's extreme. I'm Christian. I love Jesus. But he thinks Jesus tells him to say things. I'm like, Jesus, I say that.
That's despicable to me.
Yeah.
Oh, you love Jesus, but you don't think that he whispers to people, that he helps people in their lives, he guides and directs? You don't believe that? I don't know. It's lunacy that why is Omarosa even being listened to?
Well, because she was put in the White House, right?
Yeah.
She would not be being listened to if she was not given a position in the White House and paid the maximum salary allowed there. Now, look, she is gone now. She's on Celebrity Big Brother or Regular Big Brother.
Celebrity Big Brother.
It's a really, really interesting usage of the word celebrity. But yes, she's a Celebrity Big Brother candidate. And I guess now it's funny because these journalists are You know how, like, they remember the Big Brother when it started, that stupid, you know, the show. And it's, if you don't know the show, it's basically they got a bunch of cameras in a house and people are watching all the time. And at one point, they converted it to this 24/7 live stream. So you can tune in at any time during the day and watch this show. It's just on all the time. And then they edit it for television, I guess, so that you get a version of it on television that's more packaged. But you can actually just tune into a live stream of this house at any point.
Wow.
So now these journalists...
Until she was on it, I didn't even know it was on anymore.
I didn't know either. I mean, I thought it was over a long time
ago.
Yeah. But apparently it's still on, and they actually just air footage throughout the day. You can just log on and watch it at any point. So these journalists who are obsessed with coming up with little nuggets about how evil Trump or Pence or whoever is are having to sit and just follow Omarosa around the house waiting for her to say something. And they have to kind of monitor it 24 hours a day, which is really irritating them and is the only reason to make you smile in the story. But there's another part of this, which is Omarosa and Piers Morgan are now in a battle. Now, Piers Morgan, you may remember.
I want to know when Piers Morgan became a conservative, too. When did that happen?
I don't think he is. I think he likes Trump.
he does.
I think he just is friends with Trump.
He more than likes Trump. He loves Trump, and he defends everything he does.
Yeah.
Which is great, but it's just disconcerting because I'm not used to it.
It seems so disingenuous, too. I mean,
yes.
I think he's friendly with Trump. He was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Right.
They have a relationship that goes back a few years. So he's been defending Trump.
He's been very loyal. He really has.
He has been. Even when it's been like when Trump has said really conservative things, he's defended him on those conservative things.
Yeah.
Which shows you that Piers Morgan, there's no value in anything he says.
Right.
Right. Which is why I hesitate to bring this story up at all. But Piers Morgan has written a story in the Daily Mail about his relationship with Omarosa on the show when they were there. He says he met.
Because they were both on
Celebrity Apprentice. With Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He says that they met and he was aware of who she was because of her regular apprentice appearance several years later earlier. Awaiting their first challenge, Piers Morgan says Omarosa came up to him and suggested that they have sex. Quote, then we can make lots of money out of it. It's impossible for me to find a story with two people that are less likable than these two.
Mm-hmm.
But he says Omarosa said to him that we need to have sex and then we can make lots of money out of it. He looked back at her and laughed. You must be joking, you deluded woman. She didn't take it well. She said, quote, what are you, gay? Omarosa came up to him later on and said, do you want a showmance? You know, a romance on the show, and that's how they can make all their money out of it. Now, after this, he apparently said no to her sexual advances, she got very angry with him.
Is that because he's a racist? Did he turn her down because he's a racist?
No, she went a different direction. First of
did
all,
she?
Yeah, she said because Piers was separated from his ex-wife and a mother, the mother of three of his four children. Omarosa kept taunting him with things like, the mother of your children hates you, Piers. And your effing children hate you. They're embarrassed by you. Is there another man raising your children? Then another occasion in front of Lennox Lewis, the former heavyweight champion, she said, hey, Piers, I heard you got caught having relations with a gay waiter in a hotel pool. Piers says this was a lie. He says he's not gay, and he hadn't heard that. She hadn't actually heard that rumor. She was just making it up. Eventually, apparently on record, Omarosa told Donald Trump that I think Piers is in the closet. She called him an effing F word that describes gays.
Mm-hmm.
Said he'd been caught giving oral pleasures to a male in a pool. And
again, that was her making that up entirely.
That's what Piers says. Yes.
Okay.
Now Trump responded, said, you're calling Piers a homosexual. I don't think you know him very well. And then Piers's response was to come in and to kiss Trace Adkins, and say, quote, I've always loved a beautiful cowboy. And everyone laughed.
Okay.
All right. I just want to, again.
That's why that was such a good show, right? I mean.
I guess it was.
I guess I'm just it was. Sorry I missed that episode.
I will say it doesn't seem like a place I would recruit members for the White House, though.
Yeah, right.
And I think the Omarosa thing, and you're seeing this, she's obviously trashing people. She's trashed Trump a little bit. She's trashed Pence. She's threatened Kelly. She's been saying, telling people that there was racism involved in the White House, that she's going to come out with it all. And then, I mean, can you imagine a less serious thing to do than to leave the White House in supposedly an official, actual position where you're doing work, which no one in the White House can seem to detect what she actually did, but and then go immediately, within weeks, to Celebrity Big Brother. I mean, she's always been about herself. That was her character on the show. She was all about herself.
Yeah.
And why Trump decided to reward her, I guess, loyalty strange. With this position is strange. But I think for all parties involved, it's good that she's out of the White House.
No doubt about that.
And no, Piers.
No doubt about that.
It's a whole other thing.
The Piers story is interesting. I can't get used to it. I can't get used to his defense of a Republican. I never believed that would happen.
But. Remember, he used to do shows every day about how evil guns were.
Uh-huh.
And every day on CNN. And he would have a worse... Seemingly, he would sit at home all day and try to develop a worse argument than the day before. It was like...
And somehow he managed it, too.
And he did it every night. It was pretty amazing.
It was. Somebody who's still at the White House, though, and is under fire now, again, is Kellyanne Conway. For her comments about Hope Hicks and her relationship with Rob Porter.
Yeah,
apparently they're dating now.
Yeah,
right?
I guess they're together, or they it's fairly recent that came out. And I think that was kind of the thing that caused this controversy to kind of pop up, because she was spotted with him at one point. Someone took pictures, then people started looking into Porter, because Hope Hicks is sort of this character that, you know, people love to investigate. She's not, you know, one of the things she does, and I think really well, is she does not make the story about her. She's one of the only people in that White House, especially the early White House, that didn't want the press attention, right? She wants to do a job for the president, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to be doing when you're in the White House. And people like Steve Bannon wanted to do a job for Steve Bannon, right? And Omarosa wanted to do a job for Omarosa. Hope seems to actually want to do a job for Donald Trump, okay? Help the presidency, help it accomplish the goals that it has. So people want to take her down because she's one of the only effective people in the White House, at least at times it's been that way. So they went after her relationship and started looking into it. These accusations came out, and they were serious accusations. Kellyanne Conway, and look, beyond accusations, there seems to be pretty significant evidence that these things are accurate, that Rob Porter did these things, which is hard to believe. Remember, Porter is a guy, he's not just some guy. He came from Orrin Hatch's office. He's been a guy who's been a mainstay in Republican politics for a while. It's not like just some guy they picked up off the street. It's surprising that this stuff wouldn't have come out previously. And I can understand the White House thinking, if he worked for Orrin Hatch for all these years, we're not going to find any skeletons in the closet. Well, they found skeletons in the closet and pictures of the skeletons in the closet, and they're not pretty. So serious accusations that needs to be said. However, I think there's a way that this has been talked about with the Kellyanne Conway thing, where we just constantly just jump to the worst possible way to translate a story because we want to be outraged and we want to go further. Here are the comments that are so controversial from Kellyanne Conway. This is this weekend.
Are you worried at all about Hope Hicks?
Well, I'm very close to Hope Hicks, and I don't worry about her in that respect. I'm sorry for any suffering that this woman has endured. But in the case of Hope, I've rarely met somebody so strong with such excellent instincts and loyalty and smarts. I didn't have the presence of mind and the professional capabilities at her age that I see in her every single day.
She's definitely strong, but strong women get abused too. It's not just weak women.
Oh, many women get abused, no question. And let me agree with you on that. There's a stigma and a silence surrounding all of these issues, again, whether it's drug abuse, child abuse, certainly intimate partner and spousal abuse, there's no question that it knows no demographic or geographic bounds. Right. No question, Jake. So let's put that there.
This is unbelievable. The way that was translated by the media was that Kellyanne Conway was blaming the victims of the abuse because they weren't strong enough.
Yeah, that is Nowhere near. She was just saying.
Nowhere near what she was saying. First of all, let's be honest about it. What she's trying to do is navigate an impossibly awkward situation where her friend is dating this person.
Nothing she could say would have been right there.
Nothing can solve that. She's trying to say something nice about her friend.
Yep.
Her coworker. That's all she's doing there. She's not saying that people who were abused by this guy were weak and that was the cause of it. First of all, she gives additional explanations like excellent instincts. Right. Again, saying that, you know, I think she's trying to say if she felt that something like this was going to happen, she'd leave. But beyond that, she goes on to profusely agree with Jake Tapper's analysis that it's that strong women get abused, too. And they do. And she admits that and says it multiple times and says that there's no limitation, that anyone can be a victim of it. She goes over and over and over again. And this has become a controversy, as if Kellyanne Conway was blaming the women for being abused because they weren't strong enough. Now, no one who's made that point, I don't think, believes Kellyanne Conway thinks that. Nobody thinks Kellyanne Conway's going, you know what? If she was just strong enough, she wouldn't have been able to been hit. That has nothing to do with it. And everyone knows that. But because they can't stand Trump, they go to any lengths to vilify somebody from the administration who's doing nothing but trying to say something positive in an impossible situation. She's just saying, look, my close coworker is dating this person. She's got to make up her own decisions, right? She's an adult. She has to make her own decisions. It's not my business.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's very strong and has great instincts. You know, I what is she supposed to do in that spot? There's nothing. There's nothing they would have been okay with.
Nothing she would have said would have been okay.
Including nothing. The fact that she agreed with Jake Tapper's analysis that it's not about strength. She actually said it, and they still called her out on it. It's there's nothing you can do in those situations.
Yeah. 888-727 Beck. We also have some interesting stuff developing with Shaun White, 3-time gold medal winner. We'll talk about that coming up.
Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn, who is sick today. Did you hear the air quotes?
I did hear an air quote. Even though I can see you, I heard the air quotes.
He's sick today. Interesting. On, I don't know, Valentine's Day, when he admitted that he had nothing planned.
Yeah. Let's be honest about it. He talked about 1-800-Flowers all week and then forgot to order.
Right.
And so now he's screwed.
Yeah.
He can't get a reservation anywhere.
And he's got to do something.
So what do? You fake an illness and you stay home.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And now Tanya's going to be like taking care
of
him.
Honey, I've got flu. I'm sick.
Right.
I'm sick. I can't. I wish I, because I had a huge thing planned. And now maybe we could do it this weekend. This weekend. That's what you do.
Only when I feel better, though, because right now I don't feel okay.
As for me, I think the love that my wife and I have for one another has transcended Valentine's Day. That's what I've come to believe. I believe our love has transcended Valentine's Day.
So
it would demean our relationship to do something, you know, superficial on this day just because it's February 14th.
So basically, you know what I mean? You also didn't get her anything.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our love is too big to demean it in this way.
It would be demeaning it to do something nice for her on Valentine's Day.
It would demean the love. It would cheapen everything we have together.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm. Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Because this is what has to be now. Immediately after Shaun White won his 3rd gold medal last night, the accusations started to fly, or the reminders. I guess it's been out there for a little while that he's been accused of sexual harassment. And so it came up immediately. He said, I don't want to talk about it. I'm kind of here to do the Olympics right now. And he's under fire because of the way he handled this and because of the allegation against him. And I think I think we have the audio. Here's Shaun White.
You know, honestly, here to talk about the Olympics, not, you know, gossip. So, I don't think so. I am who I am, and I'm proud of who I am, and my friends, you know, love me and vouch for me, and I think that stands on its own. So,
absolutely.
So you're saying that absolutely. The allegations against you are gossip?
I think we're here to talk about the gold medal and the amazing day we had today. Thank you. So if we don't have another question, why don't we go ahead and just pass the mic?
It's an amazing standard we've hit with this, in that you can't even say you didn't do the thing.
Right.
Like, that's not an acceptable response. The only acceptable response is to feel for the person accusing you.
It's to immediately apologize, whether you apparently did it or not.
Right.
You got to apologize.
That's a tad strange, is it not? Because if you didn't do anything, what are you apologizing for if you didn't do anything?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. But they jumped all over him for calling it gossip because supposedly there's a settlement of some kind. Now, did he do all the things that he's accused of? For one thing, he is accused of repeatedly sexually harassing her. This drummer in his band, he's got a band on the side called Bad Things. She was the drummer in his band for a while, for about 7 years, I think. So the quote is, repeatedly sexually harassed her and forced his authoritarian management style on her.
That's not okay. Not okay to be an authoritarian manager.
Management style. But here's the thing. Leave the band. If you don't like his authoritarian management style,
yes,
can't you leave the band and find a different one?
On that part of it, yes.
Yes.
Sexual harassment. You
right.
Know,
the other thing is
a totally other thing.
Yeah. I don't buy the, he was in a power position.
Yeah.
Well, shut up.
Yeah, he ran the thing.
Get out. Get away from the hassle.
From the business perspective side of it, completely, right? Like,
yes.
If someone, everybody's had a boss. I mean, you know, usually I have one that's sitting in your seat most days that is really irritating to work for, obviously. So that part of it is, yeah, you're right. Like, sometimes you have to leave. There's this big lawsuit going on with Vice right now. In which one of the accusations is, and again, this is just focusing on this one part of it, is, you know, a woman said she got hired for like $35,000 a year, and another writer got hired, it was a guy, for $45,000 a year, and sometimes even more than that, and it's the same job. Why am I getting paid less? Well, again, that is the type of thing that you, if you believe your female genitals are the reason why, I guess you can go out and have all the lawsuits you want. However, this company would be morons because you could go to another. If you're really worth $45,000, like you, or $55,000, like you believe you were, you could go to another company and make that, right? Like, that is a, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you want to maximize the amount of money you made? And in addition to that, it means Vice would probably fail. If Vice was dumb enough to say, you know what, I only want guys here, I only want guys with people with this sort of genitals working for me, and I'm going to pay them 50% more. That's how companies will go out of business.
That's a bad
Nobody
business
would do
plan.
That. It's stupid. Why would anyone do that? This is, goes back to, you know, why men earn more. There's a guy, we've talked about him before. He was in the New York National Organization of Women. He was the director of the National Organization of Women in New York City. And he saw all the propaganda about, hey, you know, women earn, at that time, it was like 60 cents on the dollar or whatever it was, than men. And he, a pretty smart observation, was like, hey, this is great. I can just go get women and hire them for 60% of the cost and make a lot of money. So he started looking into that and did that with his own company. And what he found was that it didn't work at all because women had different priorities than men. There were a lot of reasons that explained that wage gap, which is a lot smaller now. But still, the wage gap, it wasn't real. It was because, you know, of education. It was because of time served. It was because of men who wanted to do more dangerous jobs than women did. Men were more likely to leave for 3 months to go work on an oil rig in the middle of crazy part of the ocean than women were. And so you just averaging out salaries made no difference at all. And so there's that part of it. There's part of it here that, like, if you're talking about authoritative man, or authoritarian management style, who knows what that actually means, but generally speaking, that's a good reason to go work for somebody else. Sexual harassment, you should not be sexually harassed and have to leave, right?
Yeah,
we all understand that.
If he sends sexually explicit and graphic images, as she says, then that's despicable.
You can't do that.
And that's indefensible. Now, his attorney says the allegations lack merit. So they're kind of denying that he did that.
Right.
So I don't know. I haven't seen the evidence one way or the other. But just the accusation now is enough. I mean, people will be yelling about it, stripping him of his gold medal, I'm sure. You can't function in society anymore just from the accusation.
I am dying to see this moment in the middle of the Me Too movement, which is this. Someone's on TV with someone who talking about somebody who's been sexually harassed or there's been an accusation of it. You know, you're talking to whoever the host is, and you say, look, is there anyone in your life, host, that you have not sexually harassed? Is there one member in your life, any female you've worked with in your entire life that you have not sexually harassed? I would assume the answer to that would be yes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So give me that, think of who that person is. Mm-hmm. And think about tomorrow, that person comes out with an accusation of sexual harassment about you, okay? Mm-hmm. So you have not sexually harassed them at all. There's no merit to it whatsoever. And that person has harassed you. What do you say on television tomorrow? What reasoning, what excuse, what explanation can you possibly give that other hosts would allow you to give without calling you a hater of women? What's the combination of words that you could use to explain that you didn't actually do this, but of course you care about women being sexually harassed?
Yeah.
Because people are being put in this position. Some of them who have been accused have legitimately done these things. We've talked about dozens of them. But if you are wrongfully accused, we are setting up a society that does not allow you to defend yourself, does not allow you to say, as he said, you know, gossip, right? I don't know if his are true or not, but if it were not true, how would he defend himself other than saying, like, look, people are talking about stuff. I don't want to call her a liar because then you're going to get mad at me. I don't want to say that it's not important because then you're going to say, I don't think all women's accusations of sexual harassment are important. So I'm saying it's gossip. Again, an unconfirmed rumor that I'm trying to kind of push off to the side because I didn't do it and I want to talk about my gold medal. Well, even that is not, there's no combination of words that you would find acceptable in this situation. And there has to be. You know, Trump came out with that tweet about due process, which, I mean, he's not talking about constitutional due process. Obviously, he's not, they aren't necessarily being charged with crimes here. But some sort of process to determine whether the person did the thing you're talking about. Like, I don't know what, that should not be crazy. This is from CNN. They're talking about whether Trump is an abuser or not based on this tweet.
Listen. This goes beyond partisan politics. Violence against women is a human rights issue. And I want to reiterate my call to GOP and Republican women that it is time to get out. I feel like GOP women are trapped with their abuser, which is Trump.
They're trapped with their abuser. Now, they decided to actually ask Trump voters what they thought of his position when it comes to the sexual allegations. And here's how that went.
Do you think the president's compassion may have been misguided?
I don't think that it means that he doesn't have compassion for women. I think that if you leave something out of a sentence or you leave someone out, it doesn't mean that you're not thinking about them.
I think that we're victimizing the president, if you will, by the sense that every single word, every single tweet that he puts out is being scrutinized to the last molecule. I think what he voiced is valid. Should we take the victims into consideration? Absolutely. But should lives be condemned without due process? Absolutely not.
So despite this tweet, you all do believe that he is a great supporter of women and stands up for women's issues?
Absolutely.
Wow. Sounded pretty unanimous.
It did. And look, people make arguments. He's elevated a lot of women to very powerful positions in the government. Mm-hmm. And he did that in his business as well. That was one of his defenses when these things were coming out. But separately from whether he actually likes women or not, the idea that a person can be accused of something with no process of figuring out whether that accusation is true.
And that's happened over and over and over and over again.
I don't understand how you could be on the other side of that one. Now, look, with Rob Porter, there is a picture. There is a he's still denying it, but there is a picture of a woman with a black eye. He's giving kind of a weird explanation of how it happened. At least there's a reason to have some skepticism over his denial, right? There were, at the time, there were, you know, there were police reports and stuff like that. To me, and again, this is me, you're guessing, right? We weren't there. But to me, it seems like something really bad happened on multiple occasions, and it was a real problem. So, but again, I'm judging that I've never met either of these people. I don't know anything about it. Now, Donald Trump has spent months with this guy, and he's found him to be a trustworthy, good guy, as he even defended him after the accusations came out. So he's dealing with more information than I have or that any of these journalists have, right? Because he's spent a lot of time with them, and that's that's part of this. You know, maybe he is misjudging this person based on a personal relationship, but that's information that he's had over and gained over a year. The issue here is not about Rob Porter, who... I mean, look, they fired him, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they let him resign.
Yeah, he resigned.
Technically, he resigned. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they pushed him out because they saw these pictures and they realized how bad it was. And this is something that happens with human beings. I mean, the Ray Rice thing is a good example of it. The NFL, you know, suspended him for a couple of games until the video came out. When you start seeing photos and you realize the real nature of these things, and it's not, it goes from a legalese word on a piece of paper into a photo, it really brings it home, and that's okay.
He actually claims he took the photo in question. The one that happened when they were on vacation in Florence.
Wow. I didn't hear that part of it.
Now, she says she took the photograph of herself with a black eye, but Mr. Porter, according to the story, says, first of all, the images are misleading. I took the photos given to the media nearly 15 years ago. And the reality behind them is nowhere close to what's being described. I don't know what that means.
He said something about, like, she may have been hit with a glass of some sort.
Did he throw it at her?
I don't think that's what his defense was. No, I don't.
Because she was hit with a glass.
I don't know.
In the eye.
Here's what I would say about this. Again, my belief is that this actually happened and it's really bad. So to set that straight. But we also have to acknowledge that at some point, something like this will happen. And the person who is accused will not
innocent.
Have done it. And he has that person has no way of defending themselves. Because every excuse from, I didn't do this, what are you talking about? To, you know what, I just want to make sure that I understand that everyone understands how I feel about women. And that is that they're great. There's everything in between there. All of it is off limits. Mm-hmm. All of it is some crazy excuse. And it's like, if you didn't actually do it, what would you say? You've taken all of the words and made them all disallowed. And that can't be the way we do this either.
The only acceptable thing is I support her accusations.
But if you do, right.
You know,
but then your life's over too.
Right. Right. But that's the only acceptable thing you can say. And then you're just out of your job.
That was the Louis C.K. approach. Now, Louis C.K., if you remember this one, he did things to himself. In the room with women.
With their permission.
He says he never did anything without their permission.
Yeah.
And their response to that was, well, but he was a powerful comedian. He had power over us.
Sorry, I don't buy that.
And we had nothing we could
do. I don't buy that power thing.
Right.
The power dynamic.
But you know who does buy it? Apparently
Everybody
Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Because Louis C.K. in his statement basically said, you know what? I should have never done those things because I was famous and even though they agreed, I still shouldn't have done it because I should have known they couldn't say no because I was admired by them, was the way he put it. And it's like,
wow.
Well, even that, which is like the most over-the-top conciliatory way of talking about this, even that was rejected and we haven't heard a word from the guy since. So there is like literally no combination of words that you can say that apparently is okay, even as a defense. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. More on this coming up in just a minute.
I have the same pattern every year. I start off the year eating pretty good and maybe dropping a few pounds from the holidays, and then Super Bowl comes around and I blow it all over again. It's kind of a planned part of my life, to be honest about it. But Riduzone is helping me bounce back this time. Usually it takes me a month or so to actually bounce back from the Super Bowl. Not this year. I'm bouncing back now. I've lost, what, 10 pounds since the beginning of the year, 12 pounds, something like that. And Riduzone helps because it helps, you know, curb your cravings. It helps your metabolism speed up. And it is a great idea for you if you are doing the same thing that I'm doing, trying to drop a few pounds and get back into a little bit of shape. Riduzone.com is the place to go for this. Riduzone.com. You're going to get 30% off if you use the code STU. There's nothing wrong with getting a little bit of help when you're trying to lose weight. It's hard. And Riduzone can help you. Riduzone.com. Offer code STU.
Glenn Beck.
There's an article in New York Times Magazine with an interesting proposition. This simple concept. Let's ban porn. Let's just, if porn is harmful to kids and to others and to relationships, as so many people think it is, let's just ban it then. Would you be in favor of that? Free speech issues that brings up? Are they outweighed by the harm that's being done? Get into that coming up. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.